Greetings one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to see some familiar faces here. A couple of us are a little older than what we used to be, but you're still recognizable. And it's definitely a blessing to be able to be gathered together. As I caught a part of the Sunday school lesson and the songs we sang, I hope you were inspired this morning. The last song we just sang there is Lead Me Gently On, and I trust that's each of our desires this morning, to be gently led by Christ and to follow His leading, His prompting, even though we live in a real world that has many challenges. It comes to each one of us in a different way at times, but we still have something to follow, but we have to choose that. For a message this morning, a little more than a year ago, my daughter introduced me to a song or a group of singers, and it has always inspired me to listen to that song. It talks about reflections. All Jesus wants from us is to be a reflector. You know what? We're not nothing in our own. We're just supposed to reflect. And I heard that tone come through the Sunday school discussion, and it's so easy for me to hear those things, but to have it settled down here in our heart is where the challenge is. And that's what I find as I so often listen to music and hear discussions. Yep, I like that thought. But is it resting in my heart? Something I can struggle with as a man in my 40s. And I believe it's something that's real to each one of us. To be a reflection is something that to cast back. You know what? We're giving back what we receive. And we also give it back in the same likeness we received. Like we think of a mirror. We all use mirrors this morning. I think we did anyway. Everybody looks good. Took a little preparation, but we've seen us for who we were as we looked in that mirror. And there's many other areas we use reflectors coming to church here. Those are coming over the mountain. We've seen signs that were, well, it was morning, so they were. It was easy to read. But if you're traveling at night, we see many road signs that, you know what, it give us what's ahead. It's a clear signal of what's to come. There's those of us who are slowly aging, and these little things here aren't always working as good as they should. So if you want to hear something, you help the sound reflect. We use our hands to reflect the noise into our ears. We were at a science center with our children, and I'm sure you all were there too with youngsters, where they had two opposing dishes. There was a big dish on this end of the room and another big dish on this end of the room, and you stood in front of those dishes and you could whisper and you could hear each other because the sound reflects. It was contained into that little dome. So this morning, we also, as in construction, we use reflectors quite a bit with transits and all that. Things that cast light to let us know the height, how things are tracking. We're so used to automation, but there's a lot of times those things use little reflectors to help keep things on course, keep things going straight. And I think that one prayer request you heard this morning about children going back to school, it's a beautiful privilege we have, but as these little ones go back to school, your teachers are going to remind you, they're going to say, remember. You know what? It's a reflecting back. Something that was taught last year or a previous lesson that, you know what? It's a looking back. There was something taught. Am I able to reflect back to it and build off of that this coming year? This morning, I like to look at three different areas of reflections. First of all, is a source, then the reflector, and then the purpose, the why. We all know the source of reflection, what we're supposed to be. And oftentimes we use think of a light, something that's what I chose to look at this morning, lights, thinking how we use light to reflect. But what good is a reflector if there's not a source? You can have all the markings you want, But without a source of light, it's useless. We can have many things in place, but if they're not visible or not useful, there's no purpose. It's like in our lives, there's many things bidding our attention each day. The prayer requests we heard, there was a wide range of ages given. I don't know each individual, but there's a wide range of ages giving of people who are facing things that they will have to reflect off of. They have choices to make. Some of those choices are outside of their some of those things that are coming into their life are outside of their control. But there have been, they talk to other people and say, can you pray for me? These individuals seen godly people have a relationship that want to be, have a reflection coming into their life. Can we be those people? Can we help shed that light, share that light with others? And I trust you all are being that little reflector from a source of light. And as I think of that, that testimony that goes out in our communities, as we do those things, there's many other people in this world, which you're very familiar with, who want you to be something other than that reflector. They want you to enjoy life. They want to share those things of temperamental value, things that don't have lasting satisfaction, doesn't have lasting fulfillment. They want us to fill our lives with that. But when we have those opportunities to simply pray, when they ask you, can you pray for me? Take those opportunities. It's that reflection of a powerful source, something that has eternal lasting value. So that's how most of us have been taught from little on up, that there are only two powers in this world. We don't dabble with the thing of who is God. We know who He is. But there's many in our world who don't know, have that privilege. They don't know when you say, I'll pray for you. Well, who will you pray to? They don't have that foundation. You can turn to 1 John 2. I heard this thought coming through the Sunday school lesson. You know, who are we that we are able to, that we are such a privileged people to have this been taught to us from little up? It's nothing that we have done, but it's what Jesus has done for us. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Here we see the things that last and the things that are just for the moment. Again, we all make these everyday decisions that decipher between these two powers. Either it's God or the world. And we know the effects of both of these powers. The one makes us comfortable and feel accepted. The other one gives us peace and joy. We know as we observe the world, and many of us have a short glimpse of what's behind us the last 30, 40 years. And you hear the older generation talking to us about how they feel this world's getting darker and colder. But it's all because of a deceiver. It's one who has a power that has been not shining that true light. It's deceptive. But that's normal in this world. But what's normal in the world is so, it can be so alive and well in my own heart. This thing that it talks about, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are all expressions. These can be all, I think that I can keep them in control down here. But the fruit of it will come out of my heart. It will be an expression. Somewhere it will seep out. It will bleed out slowly. Am I able to control those reflections? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I can't hide what I have in my heart. It will come out. Is it those things that will bring everlasting life? So this carnal nature we have needs to be conquered. It needs to be overthrown, taken down, and replaced with something other than what we don't have. It only comes from above. Because the devil is so aware, and he learns who we are. He does not know who we are. He learns who we are. He listens. He watches. And he observes our everyday life. He tempts us only with the things that he sees us enjoying. So who is or what is that love? He won't tempt us with things that are not appealing to us. Things that aren't. Yeah. There's big growth in it, but he will come in such small ways that erode at the things that we love. He won't tempt us with true Christian service. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15 says, "It's no marvel, for Satan himself was transformed into an angel of light." Here we see how it was his desire, or he wanted to be as. But again, it comes with deceit. It's not that true light. As we stay in tune and close to God's word, we'll be able to see the difference between him trying and the true light. So Christian service is never marred by what the Satan has to offer. So this morning, we as God's people do not need to fear this deceiver. Because we are alert. We know what God's expecting from us. But it's when we let our own carnal heart, we become deceived when we allow our own carnal heart to take first place in our lives. So we as God's people need to live careful lives, willingly and obeying all his commandments. I think the one memory verse made light of that. Of one of the children said about, "And doeth his commandments." So as we do those things, God will continue to lead us with his spirit, and we will not go astray. So we'll be able to decipher between the two sources of light, the deceptive one and the true light. I believe there's three ways in which the Bible says it will help us identify that power. 1 John 4:1-3. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit, the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I'm not sure what you see in these verses here as you read down over them. But it talks about believe not every spirit. And I believe we can simply do that by not believing every voice we hear. Every person that speaks. We live in a day when there's much to listen to. You see people go about their everyday lives plugged into something, listening to something. And we know there's a lot of good out there. But I believe many of us are aware of that you can have the name Christian into something and it can be tangled with deceit. And that's how the devil likes to erode at this light that we're trying to follow. It says, "Do not believe every spirit, but we're to try the spirits. Does it match up with the rest of Scripture? Am I willing to pick up my own Bible and see for myself? Do you know what the Scripture says, or are you just listening to what other people are saying? Simply following the voices of the world?" There's many good speakers in this world. There's people who are enjoyable to listen to. But be alert. Pay attention. If commandments of God are being smothered or being watered down, it's best to turn it off. Find something solid to listen to. In Acts 17, verse 11, it talks about the early church. It said, they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things are true. Is that what you and I are doing as we go from day to day? Are we searching the scriptures? Or am I coming to church Sunday morning and I hope I have enough of fuel to go to next Sunday? Do I have enough to carry me through the week? You won't. Is your devotional life strong and you following Christ? Is a devotional life something that I feel I have to do, or is it something that I want to do? I know in the business of life, I'm well aware of it. A devotional life is something that it takes a purpose. You said, this is what I find. This is what I need to look for. I have to have it. But in the rat race we live in, and you as young parents, with the children's schedules and all that, I think every human understands that it might not always be the same time. But a devotion is something that's we're in communion with. Our minds are always aware of it. Whether it might be, you might not get to read your Bible that morning, but are you listening to music that can inspire you and help you keep your thought life right and just maintain that walk with Christ? You busy mothers have more disruptions than probably most people. But are you finding time to have that devotion with God? We allow many things steal that precious time. And most of the time, those things can be self-inflicted excuses. Things that I enjoy, or the thing of just like enjoying running. But if I follow after those things, it's a distraction. I will not be able to find the strength to portray that light that I want shining through my life. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. This is the Jesus speaking about in the parable of the good tree. Either make the tree good and his fruits good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that a man shall speak, that shall he give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Here again we see what's a reminder of what's in my heart will be reflected by the things that I do. We know the old saying, actions speak louder than words. And I think this is so important with us as parents and you young parents. God bless you to keep endeavoring, but our actions speak so much. We can say so much with our words, but our children, don't tell them, show them. I always enjoy that. You know what? Our children need to see our actions lining up with what we're saying. We can say the right thing. We can so often make it sound so good, but let's show them. We simply need to show them the way. Do the things I do magnify and glorify the name of Jesus? Or is Jimmy in there somehow sideways? It's me. It's about the things I enjoy, the things I do. Is my life glorifying Jesus? Second one is the reflector. Okay, we've seen the source, the thing that wants to be should be driving us. The reflector is simply an object of reflection. This has no energy, no power in itself. This is just, it's like the moon. We enjoy, or I hope you take the time to enjoy getting out at night. But the moon is simply a reflector. It's no power, no energy in itself. As the sun shines on it, it gives back. Is that what you and I are? There's a powerful source out there, but am I just simply glancing that power to the world around me? This is something each one of us decides to do. Something we decide how much we're going to do. How are we using our energies today? What is my interest? What would I like a little bit more of? Do I want more light? Do I want a little more time to engage in what Jesus wants me to be? So the thing, when you think of the things we want more of, it's an indicator of which way our heart is leaning. Is it a clear signal that's coming from my life? This morning, who do you want to be accepted by? And I'm not going to be hard on young people, because I think us parents, they're just, might say, our children are little reflectors of us. As we think of, we live in a land, I don't think there's anybody here that's going to deny the thought that we live in a land of plenty, and there's a lot of comforts we enjoy, and there's a lot of blessings we enjoy that are neither right nor wrong. And sometimes they mean a little more to us than what they should. But is our Christian environment that we enjoy, is it made up with lots of cool things, a lot of popular things, a lot of things that the wealthy have? Is that what our children see is valuable to me? Is that how Jesus lived? Did Jesus live with that coming from his life? Again, we're just a reflector. So how much do those around me see that true light shining from my life? Is my light out in the open? Or am I trying to shield it? And I want to live my Christian life in a way it was just Jimmy and I, or Jimmy and God, or is it in the open? Because there's nothing hidden from God. Can I live this comfortable, selfish lifestyle that I want to be Mr. Nice Guy, but yet be a Christian? Those two are conflicting. It brings conflict in our lives when we don't simply choose just to be a follower of Christ. That's a challenge I face today. Am I into just keeping the ungodly people comfortable around me? Or am I speaking the truth? Yes, I believe we have to speak it in love, and I believe we have to stand on God's word, use the word of God to address those situations, but we're reflectors. Like I said, it's easy for me to think right, but it sometimes becomes difficult to reflect the knowledge I know. How easy it is to confront the evil that's around us that we rub shoulders with. All the corruption that is in the world, in our neighborhoods, in our families. Relationships mean so much, but do we sacrifice truth for relationships? Jesus stood on truth, and these things are hard. These things are real in our life. When we have these pains that we have to deal with. But let's use God's word. Let's just be reflectors of God's word in those situations. And as we do that, it will become evident that we're following something other than our own desires, our own will. It's not our carnality that's enjoying it. It's that we enjoy being a follower of Jesus. Again, our actions speak louder than our words. And these are windows into what's valuable in our heart. And we can't disguise that. We have all been around little children. Some of us are still trying to teach them. And a little child is, it's very easy to see what's on their mind and on their heart. And it's natural for them to be selfish. We all understand that. When they're feeling lovey and cozy, you know, they express it very well. They can't hide it. If they're unhappy or upset, they don't hide it. Their outward expressions, again, are just a reflection of what's inside. And it's so easy to see that in a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, or, well, hopefully, the higher you go, the worse, less it gets. But a child expresses what's inside. But me at 47, I still express what's inside. It's a clear signal. We can't hide what's inside us as parents to our children. They see us through. They understand us. They have a better insight at times than we do. This human nature is never far away from any one of us. And if it's left go unchecked, when I say unchecked, it means taken care of. It will be destructive. We have homes, and if I, as a father, let my own carnality and my own, you put the things we in there that you want to justify. If I left that go unchecked, the chaos and the disorder that it puts into the next generation is unreasonable. So as we as reflectors need to think what we want to reflect. We spend many a time, or I shouldn't say we as people at times, want to justify those things. But again, it bears fruit. Matthew 6:33 is a verse that I believe the children could recite. But this is what Jesus calls us to be. He wants us to be his children and simply believe it as he says it. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." So is that how I'm living my life? Just seeking the kingdom of God. Being that reflection to our children, what Jesus was to us. All we're doing is we're casting that light down to them. That they can see Jesus through us. It points one of two ways. Either it's going to point to myself or back to him. Jesus talked to the scribes or the Pharisees there in one of his speaking his parables about loving those who love them and all, what glory is that and how that all comes in place. But if we love those who are unlovely, if we try to meet the needs of those who can't meet their own, giving and not expecting back, unselfish living. As we give unselfishly, our nature has died. Our desires are being fed by something other than ourselves. It is simply we're being vessels used by God. It was like it said, we're just the hands and feet of Jesus. All we're doing is we're giving because we received. Is that your desire? Is that my desire? To reflect again that energy, that power that God can give. Matthew 12:30-25 reads, those who love life, you know what? If this is what my life consists of, that I enjoy it, that I'm satisfied, Matthew 12 reminds us of, then we'll lose it. That's all we have. There's no glory in it. So when we begin to live as Jesus taught there in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, I think 6 and 7 read, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This makes a difference. How easy is it to love those around you? John 13:34. This has been, how old am I? It's probably 25, 30 years ago. I had a friend of mine who went through very difficult times, made some poor choices, and then he became aware of the choices he made, and he had this verse as his ringtone when you called him. And I never forgot that verse to this day. I knew it before, but it's just every time I read this verse, it says that ye love one another as I have loved you. How's that ringing from your life? How's that verse coming from my life? Who did Jesus love when he looked down from heaven to me? I heard that testimony in Sunday school lesson as well. Who were we? We were lost. We were outcasts, willingly following our own way we seen life. But Jesus loved us. As you rub shoulders with your community, do they see that? Do they feel that? It's a tremendous testimony, a tremendous reflector again of what God has done for us. Do I see the opportunity to share with others, no matter who they are? I know with some of us, as society decays, and we see, we see people making choices that are very repulsive, individuals who are just, you wonder if there's any foundation, any light into their life. Do we see those individuals as opportunity? Those people are seeking something. They are following something, but it's not the true life. It's evident. God might be you bringing those people, you into the life of those peoples to express that true light. Do we cringe at that sometime? I remember I once went on a street meeting I was down in New Orleans. Again, that was quite a few years ago. But I remember seeing a group of men coming down the street. They weren't ashamed of the cause they were on. They were dressed in black. It was an evil-looking group of men. And I remember seeing them coming. I was thinking, okay, I was there to be a witness. I was there on a street meeting, you know, proclaim. And I feared. I was probably 18, 19. And I remember seeing them walk by me. I was like, oh, I was glad. But they went up to a 16-year-old girl in the same group I was with. They went up and stood in front of her. And she, without shame, stood there and looked at those men. That was shame on me. She reflected the true light. I never forgot that. So am I intimidated about the folks around me? We just read the verse, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that? We have to. But it's only when we become uncomfortable and we say, God, here's an opportunity, and you open your life, you cast that true light, that true reflection to the world around us. And God give you the strength to do that unashamedly. He came to heal the sick. He came to heal the brokenhearted, the weak, the blind, the lame. We read these stories and we see parables and illustrations of how God moved. He's still alive today. He's still moving, but he wants you and I to be that. Be those instruments that just cast that reflection the same way the early church did. We see he, as Jesus walked this earth, who he surrounded him with. Yeah, the religious leaders and those, he had a lot of confrontations with them. But they had the answers. They knew, or they thought they did. But the sincere seekers, he was there for them. He answered their questions. He helped them along. And we're 2,000 years later, those attitudes are still alive and well. They're still the sincere seeker. Those who feel sick, those who are struggling, can we put our arms around them and help them? Can we express the love of Jesus to them? To do the little we can, we might not be able to take their pain away. We might not be able to solve their problems, but we can at least cry out to the one who can. Do they feel that? And when God looks down from heaven and he hears those things and he sees those things, we bring glory to him. I remember driving across the desert in Arizona, and I'll never forget this. I was driving at night, and I could not understand why the road glistened. There was not much traffic. There was no street lights. This was just going across no man's land. And during the day, as you drove those highways, it just looked like blah desert, just nothing. But at night, the edges of the road just glistened. It was continuously just, I couldn't figure it out. And here what it was broken glass from years of, I guess, people throwing bottles or something. But as the headlights hit those things, the whole road just, the shoulders just glistened. Is that what God sees as he looks down from heaven? As he looks down in Pennsylvania, does he see it almost too bright to look at because the lights are so bright of his people just shining for him? We all know there's churches all over the East here. Everyone's trying to be a reflection of him. But Jesus said all things are naked and open before him. There's nothing hid. Hebrews 4:13 tells us that. Is that the life we're living here? Just reflecting his glory. Bringing praise to him. I trust that's each of our desire to be that reflector. Turning the light back to him and to the world around us. So we have a purpose. And I heard this in the Sunday school lesson. Again, we all have the knowledge of the word, what the Bible says. And we know this world is real. But how clear of a picture am I portraying to the world? We're here to warn, to guide, to direct. And I believe that's first of all as parents to our children first. But this is seen by my lifestyle and my choices I make. As I was coming across the mountain here, I don't often come the truck route. But how much confidence we put into PennDOT for good roads. And we have relatively good roads marked well. But what if PennDOT decides to remove all the markers and guardrails and safety, yellow lines, everything, only for a mile coming across a truck route here? Most of you probably could get away with it because you are familiar with the road. But so often this is the way it's in our life. You know, we, those of us older, middle age, who have the confidence, we know the road, we could go get away without some of these reflectors and direction guardrails. But what about the younger ones around us? What about the ones who are unfamiliar? There's going to be casualties. There will be, you name it, as these young folks are trying to keep up to with those of us who are familiar with it. Can I help them understand that these reflectors are guidance? They're for our good. When those conditions are, I'm sure many of us drove on the highway where we put a lot of confidence into following the dotted line or the yellow line. let's say heavy fog, snow, even rain. We follow those reflectors very closely because, you know what? They're for our safety. They're for our guide. And you might have pulled straight through the storm and really didn't give much attention to the rest of the environment around you, but you were just following the simple thing that you had in front of you. Is that how I'm following the scripture? Is that what's coming from my life, that I'm so I want to make sure I stay on track, on the path? Being that example to the next generation. Our Jesus' teaching, can we adapt to them in 2025? Or is there something that gets old and we pass off? Yes, times change. I'm aware of that. But God's word said it will not change. It's going to stay forever. Is that the foundation I'm giving my children to be convinced of the truth that's there? Am I anchored and satisfied in simply following Jesus? Matthew 5:14, it says that what we're supposed to be, we're to be the light in this world. And again, don't have that energy within ourselves, but we're just reflecting it. And this reflector, when we think of children, it's something that we have only for a short time. This opportunity to give them that, the next generation, for them to see the importance of this light. Do our children know that it doesn't take wealth or popularity to be a child of God? That the kingdom of God is one of humble service, willingly sacrificing for the needs of others. This is an image that is not forced on us. It's something we accept and take. And as we do this thing, Jesus' teachings are expressed. They see what has priority in our life. So how are those around us interpreting this light? Do they see a clear path? Do they see us claiming those promises that reflect Jesus Christ? Are the fruit of the Spirit something that they see me working daily on? As I read over the fruit of the Spirit, there's many times, I know when we think of fruit, we see a variety of, we see apples and bananas, and I like this one, I don't like this one, or them, but we can pick and choose. But this one here, it says the fruit. Either we have one, or either we have all, or not at all. Yes, there's some of those areas where we have to work a little bit harder on, maybe. But is that what my desire is, endeavoring to have them all? Because either I have one, or I'm all, or none at all. So are those evident in my life? So what are you prioritizing in your life? Jesus said if we don't give them all to Him, we will lose. If He does not have priority, we will lose. If I think I can have certain portions of my life and His kingdom, it will be difficult and hard. And that true light will not shine through my life to the world around us. So we have choices to make each day, each week, who we're going to live for. These things do affect our families, our communities, our churches. May it be said of us, each one of us here this morning, like in Acts 4, verse 13. This was said of His disciples as they looked at Paul. I forget who the other one was there. It said these are unlearned men. They weren't somebody that was really somebody in the community. But there's five words at the end of that verse that needs to be said of you and I. It says that they've been with Jesus. You know what? People didn't understand these people, these disciples, why they were doing, but they've been with Jesus. So can that be said of you and I this morning, that we've been with Jesus? I like to read the chorus of the song that means so much to me. Again, it's talked about, it's Oh, to be a reflection of God. Yes, I'll be a reflection of grace. May my life be a mirror of Jesus, always living in reflection of Him. So God bless you this week as you simply be a reflector for Him. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you.